CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Wedding Central.
Such an exciting topic. Yes,
today's spicy, spicy, spicy. So you're with myself and Ntombi Ndlapho. My host, Carly Collins, is here with us as well.
De Villiers.
Mrs. Carly De Villiers. And in studio we have Katrina... How do you say your surname?
Boffard.
Katrina Boffard. Katrina Boffard is our guest today because today we are talking about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. Welcome to the show, Katrina.
Thank you, ladies.
Tell us a little bit about what an exciting career you've got.
Yeah, it is. Everyone always says that. Everyone always tells me they've never met anybody who does what I do.
What do you actually do?
I mean, you want the fun answer or the boring answer?
Fun.
I help people have sex.
I love that.
Not better sex, just sex. Because sometimes people who come to see me aren't even having sex.
Oh, really? I see.
Yeah. Okay. So I just help people have sex. Okay, or to understand themselves sexually, or, you know, try things sexually, or maybe to understand themselves better or their partners better, that sort of thing.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And what is your actual official job title?
So I am a sexologist and a cognitive behavioral therapist.
Okay. Wow. Yes. It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, yeah. Lots of degrees.
Sounds like you went to school for that.
I went to school for a long time. Really long time. So today the reason why we brought you in is because we want to talk about sex on the night of the marriage.
Of course, big topic.
Of the wedding, yeah. Because I think that can be quite a touchy subject sometimes. You know, and there can be a lot of emotions around that.
Yeah. Like, let's start from the beginning. Do you think there is there's a build-up or a dream or some kind of expectation that maybe both the bride and the groom have leading up to this big night? Like, is it a huge thing for couples, like, when they're planning for their weddings? Is it something that they plan for?
I think it depends on the couple. It depends on their background. So mm-hmm. religious background, cultural background, moral background. You know, in this day and age, your couple who's been living together for quite some time, who have been having sex for quite some time, it's not really a big deal.
Yeah.
Probably find that they haven't even had a conversation about it because it's not, you know, it's the least of their worries of the day, you know.
Right.
You know, they're just hoping they all turn up, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you've got couples who've never had sex or take a sex fast before the wedding, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It really is. And I'd say it's more an issue for women than it is for men. Mm. And women will feel the pressure more of it. But a lot of guys will feel pressure to perform on the night, especially if they've never had sex with their partner.
I've had a
number of couples and even friends that have that sex fast beforehand, but you can see their frustration. They really are struggling sometimes when you're so used to being able to just have it when you want it. Type of thing.
And let's break down what a sex fast is for maybe somebody who's listening and they're like, oh my god,
I've never heard of
what is this thing now? What is it?
How could we define it? Well, a sex fast is just making a mutual consensual decision to abstain from sex until such a time such as the wedding night when you want to have sex. I think if any couple chooses to do that, it really needs to be for the right reasons. Mm. You know, if a lot of couples say, you know, that we want the wedding night to be special, we've been having sex for a long time,
right,
but we're going to stop now for a year, for 6 months, for 6 weeks, whatever it may
year.
Be. Yeah, I've had couples stop for a year.
My God, I don't think we'll get there.
You know, but they've mutually agreed on it. I think if one of the partners doesn't agree, it's not a good thing because it can cause a lot of conflict in the relationship. Mm. But I mean, if a couple has agreed on it and it works for them, I think it's a great thing. And if they're doing it for the right reasons, if they're going to use that time to reconnect with the relationship on an emotional level, on an intimate level that doesn't involve sex, fantastic. Great thing to do.
100%.
Is there any tips that you can give for that? That like
during the sex fast?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What to expect?
So I also think it's important to sort of differentiate. Are you going to, when you're having this discussion with your partner, are you going to stop having all sexual contact completely?
Yes.
Are you going to allow kissing? Are you going to allow touching? Are you going to allow oral sex?
Yeah.
Are you going to allow anal sex?
Yeah.
You know, you have to discuss what it is that you're willing to do during that time and what you're not. So you've got to set the boundaries.
Must be cut out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. And so the advice I'd give is, well, depending on what you've agreed on, let's use an example and say that a couple has agreed to not have sexual intercourse, so what we all understand as sex, but they'll have oral sex and they'll touch and they'll kiss and then they'll use their hands and that sort sort of thing.
Right.
Focus on that. Like, focus on touch. Focus on getting back to, like, reconnecting with one another, getting back to that sort of raw level with one another, the passion of it.
Right.
You know, be romantic, be sexy, do all of these fun things that sex kind of overshadows sometimes.
Yeah, 100%.
And it makes us forget about all of these things.
Yeah,
that's... It makes you start thinking, like, maybe it's a good idea to do these things every now and again.
This is what I get people to do when they come and see me as a therapist. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of trying to get people to just go back to basics.
Yeah.
Everyone always skips
when you're a teenager.
Yeah, remember first base, second base, like... Like, build yourself up, because I think now, like, especially in this day and age with, like, life taking over, you just, like, get to the deed. You know, there are days where you have, like, the full on everything.
Yeah, of course.
But I just feel like.
And I like talking about sex all the time, but now it's really public. So, it's like scary.
So let's go back to the actual big night. What do you think are maybe. I'm trying to get to, do I bring any tools with me, like any toys or something on the night? Like, do I dress up on the, like, what do you advise for this big night now that we've done this, like, sex fast and now, you know, it's my wedding day?
He's just going to explode.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Wow, excuse the pun.
Touches
no
a move.
No.
Yeah, what do you suggest, Kachina?
So I think it really, again, it depends on the couple. It depends what they've decided. But let's use that example again. If you've got a couple who's abstaining from sex completely, but they're going to be touching and whatever. Again, I think that's an important conversation to have. I think they need to decide what works for them. Hopefully, by the time you get to the wedding night, you know your partner.
Right.
You know if your husband to be likes lingerie or not.
Yeah.
You know if your wife to be likes toys or not. So you can go with that. So you should know your partner, we hope, by the night you get married, we hope.
Yeah.
So go with what you know works for them. You've known them for so long, you know what they like. A lot of bridesmaids give the bride lovely lingerie for the wedding night, and that's a really special tradition. I have had a lot of men say, "Oh, the lingerie looks much better on the floor than it does on my wife."
It's true. I always say, because it's like in
it's
the
a bit lost.
It's on the floor 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's wonderful. I mean, it's all part and parcel of this sort of performance that carries out, that is just so wonderful. So I think it really is up to the individual couple. If you want to bring things in like toys and lingerie and ointments and treatments and whatever it might be, that's totally up to you. But
depends on what time your wedding finishes.
That too. I mean, that's
is
a
there
whole
any
other
time
issue.
For that? That's a whole different issue.
Whole different issue. But I really think that. If you have never been with your partner or you've abstained from sex for a while, it should just be about the two of you.
Yes.
I think, personally.
Yeah.
I think it should just be about the two of you. You guys should just really enjoy each other for what it is that you guys can bring to that experience.
Yeah,
more than anything
else. And for somebody who has never had sex before and this is like their first time.
It's probably terrifying.
What can they expect?
Oh, so that word, expectations.
Don't have too many expectations.
Whether you had sex or not. If you could put two words that hated each other more together, it would be expectations and sex. So as soon as you tell somebody or you expect something of them, they're going to feel pressured.
Mm.
If they feel pressured, they're not going to be able to get to where they want to be or do what they want to do. So that whole thing around expectations is very difficult. So I think if you've never had sex, if it's your first time, there are a couple of things that you need to know. I think you need to know that sex for the first time for most women will hurt.
Yeah.
Sex for a man for the first time, and I've generalized hugely here, is probably going to be very quick.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it's the first time he's ever experienced a sensation like that.
Yeah.
There's very little that mimics that sensation. And so it's going to be over very quickly and probably hurt her quite a lot. That's a general, the general knowledge that everyone has about sex on their first time.
So you should lower your expectations of that.
So what I would say is actually don't just jump straight into it.
Yeah.
You know, start with like the romantic stuff.
Yeah.
Kiss. Yes. People don't kiss anymore.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, when they're getting married, they might still be in the honeymoon phase or whatever. Yeah. Just kiss.
Right.
Touch. Spend like, if you awake enough after your wedding, if you're passed out from being exhausted or the champagne, spend time actually just like touching each other and kissing each other and turning each other on before you get there. Especially for girls who've never had sex, you really, really important for them to be turned on.
Right.
And that means touch from their partner, intimacy from their partner.
100%. And then I wanted to find out, what about that conversation of, are we both having sex on the night? What if, like you're saying, you know, for women, it's more important for them to have sex and it's a big deal in terms of performance. But there he goes, he's drunk.
And it gets whisky. What do we say?
Whiskey dick. Yeah. It doesn't work. The equipment is no way.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, that's what alcohol does to our sexual organs. Makes it difficult for a guy to get an erection and a girl to climax.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's difficult. Again, it's about expectations. You got to have this conversation before. I think it is an important conversation for any soon-to-be married couple to have. It's so important. And actually what research says is the more the couples talk about sex, the more sex they have.
Right.
So if you get started talking about it right from the beginning, it's going to bode you well later on.
Right. So like while you're having your photos taken, whisper sweet nothing.
Yeah. I was actually about to say talk about what you're going to do on your sexual night. I was maybe.
Oh, no, don't worry. I'll never forget our photographer when we were having photos taken. The one time he did mention to us, you know, you must put sweet nothings into your partner's ears. And I did, and his assistant actually caught exactly what I said on. He was like close. He was actually zooming into my mouth, and it was just like, oh my god. He's like, Carly, what did you just say to your
husband? I don't want to know.
And it actually makes for great photos after that. Yeah, I'm 100%. Sure. Very natural, happy. Yes. Slightly anxious and nervous photos.
But what can I do? What if, what is there any remedy to whiskey dick or equipment not working? Like, do we just have to wait for him to sleep it off? There's nothing else that you can do at that point.
You can do everything except penetration, because obviously it's going to be very difficult to have any sort of sexual penetration.
Just out of interest, if he can't get it up, like, does that mean he's not horny or
not at all?
No.
You know,
sorry, excuse my
not at all, because I say that with some empathy in my voice, because I've had so many guys say, you know, does she think I'm not into her?
Yeah.
And so many girls say, is he just not into me?
Yes.
And it's not that at all. Unfortunately, our reaction to arousal is such a physiological thing that if he drinks alcohol, it's going to dilate his blood vessels so that he's not going to, constrict his blood vessels so that he's not going to be able to, the blood won't get there.
Yeah.
Okay. And same with her. She probably won't get as aroused. She won't be able to climax. It becomes more difficult. So, you know, if things like that are happening, sleep it off or do other things.
Yeah.
You know, touch, kiss, like feel around, you know, have fun with each other. This whole sex on the wedding night, when we say sex, it shouldn't just be, you know,
sex should be
penetration. Yeah. It should be touch, kiss, intimacy,
the whole thing.
Play.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know a number of couples that have actually had their first fight the night of the wedding when they went to the bedroom, because one wanted to just fall on the bed and sleep.
Yeah,
others couldn't get the dress off and it just became too much of a mission.
Yeah.
And then it was like one wanted to have a romantic night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's where you've got to have that talk prior to the wedding.
Absolutely.
Even prior to the day. We're spending all this money on a wedding.
Yeah.
Do we want to enjoy it with our guests, or do we actually want to go and at a point we say, okay, right, we're done, 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, the wedding is over, we're going home, we're going to have our romantic night.
And a lot of brides and grooms leave their guests at the wedding.
Yeah.
You know, you enjoy, we're going, this is our special night. A lot of bride and grooms do that because they've had that conversation before, but I couldn't agree more with you, Carly. I think it's important to have that conversation.
Yeah, I you know, for me, I don't really agree. I always say to, you know, my clients, and I say, you know what, I would rather the day after your wedding, make that a day of love.
Make it your sixth day.
Make that a day of love.
Yeah.
Simply because emotions are tiring. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not doing like hard labor. Yeah, they're exhausting.
Mm.
So, you know, the day of the wedding, you're so exhausted. And so, you know, there's so many things going on that I feel like that expectation. Yeah, it becomes a task.
Yeah.
You're exhausted. You're tired. You want to take a bath. Or like, it's so tiring at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever to start that whole process now from scratch. So I just say to them, you know what, guys? Relax, take it easy. If it happens, great. But you know what? Sunday should be pegged as your day of love. You go off. There's no pressure to be
in the
anywhere.
Day of love.
Yes.
100%.
Exactly. For me personally, I was like, I didn't want my husband to think, oh, now that we're married,
it's over.
It's over and sex is not going to be as fun. So I was like, no, we're doing this.
Yeah, 100%.
So I suppose, that conversation is
all
so important.
Couples,
you know, absolutely. Everyone is different. But that conversation where you say, okay, what are we going to do? How do you want to do this? But also, to have some understanding and give each other a bit of leeway. Just say, you know, we're going to be up from X time in the morning. You might not have slept the night before from nerves.
Yeah.
We've got a party all day. We're bundle of emotion. And then at the end of the day, we're expected to do this. There is nothing that says you have to do that on the wedding night.
100%.
And if anything, it might actually not be what you're hoping it will be. Because there's build up, there's this pressure, there's this, oh, we have to do this. When people have to do things, you know, they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
They want to do it because they want to do it, not because they have to do it.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the honeymoon.
Yes.
Because I think the honeymoon, there's lots and lots of things. It's actually sometimes too much.
Yeah, it's actually all you do, right? You drink, you eat, you sleep, you have sex. That's pretty much what a honeymoon
generally,
is about.
Yeah. It's generally that the women are like, can we go for it? And then the men are like, it's enough now.
But what would you, what are tips in terms of, because obviously if you're having a lot of sex, you could become sore or dry.
Of course.
What are common issues that could possibly happen if you have too much sex? And from both sides, both the women and the men's side.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no such thing technically as too much sex, okay?
I agree.
Our bodies are quite smart, yeah.
Right, our bodies
are quite smart. But, you know, having a lot of sex when you've never had before, especially as a woman, you might not get as aroused as much, so you're going to be quite dry. That can lead to a whole bunch of things, and you might get a bacterial infection or thrush, candida. Those are not fun things to have on your holiday. You have to go down to like some little chemist where someone doesn't speak English. Try and find some Canesten 1VC, whatever, that you know here but you don't know there.
Yeah.
For a guy, I mean, there's generally, men can have sex a lot. Generally they'll be able to go for one or two rounds depending on their age, you know, and last a certain amount of time. It all depends on their stamina. I mean, everyone is totally different. But it's not going to affect a man as much having a lot of sex as it will a woman. A man might be very, very tired, and he might not be able to have sex six times in one day depending on his age. It really might, you know, your age does equal is very correlated to, highly correlated to sort of your sexual
stamina.
Yeah.
Exactly. And obviously your stress levels, because I mean,
absolutely,
think about honeymoon. Actually, for a lot of us now honeymoon's actually your holiday. It's your honeymoon, but they haven't maybe had a holiday for years, and now it's like all fall down. I'm now relaxing, and
you're alone with your partner for the first time. And if you've never had sex before, now you're expected, there's this expectation, hate that word, you're expected to have all this sex. Everyone thinks you're going to come back from honeymoon, really loved up, and you know, that's a lot of pressure for people.
It really is a lot of pressure. Yeah, I wanted to also talk about the pressure in terms of actual sexual performance. I find that people feel like, I need to turn my best tricks. Like, I need to pull out all of my tricks and candies and all kinds of stuff. Like, in terms of actual performance, is that something that people struggle with when it comes to, like, that, like you say, that expectation?
So I think, you know, I would say, you know, mystery is always a good thing in a relationship, because people like to be kept, you know, intrigued. That's very sexy.
Right.
For the rest of your life, I think you should be constantly learning new things about your partner for as long as your relationship goes on. But when it comes to tricks and stuff, don't pull all of your rabbits out of the hat at once.
At the same time.
No, not only are you going to show all your cards, but you're probably going to overwhelm the hell out of your partner.
They're not going to know what to do.
What the hell?
So then just start slow, especially if you've never had sex before and you've waited for the wedding night. Start with the basics. Just enjoy that for a while. You don't have to like come and bring all this other stuff and pile it on immediately. Start slow. See what works for you. I mean, if you're having just what we call vanilla sex, just enjoy vanilla sex. If that's what works for you, go for it. If you're not enjoying it, talk about it and see what else you could do.
100%.
So just gauge it based on the communication. Communication. Most important thing in a relationship.
100%. They always say sex should be a journey of discovery. It should never end. You should always be learning. You should always be finding out. And you should always be checking in, because I think also another thing, people just think I'm doing right.
What is good for you and what's not? What arouses you
100%. What about Kegels? That whole topic. What do you think is it a good thing? How far in advance? How often? Because as women, we're almost told to do it just every day, just for your health, like for your pelvic muscles or whatever. But how is that going to differentiate the feeling for the guy in terms of sex?
Okay, and one other thing, and I know it might sound completely stupid, but actually, it's for a guy that I do know. Men do not have Kegel muscles.
Yeah, of course they do.
Do they?
Because he all likes have pelvic, to sit with his...
We all have pelvic floor muscles. He always crosses his legs and he says no. He does the Kegel thing and he like lifts his...
Yeah. Yeah, oh, really?
So are you being serious?
No, absolutely. We all have pelvic, all have a pelvis. We all have a pelvic floor. We've got pelvic floor muscles.
Okay.
And the way to find your pelvic floor muscle, if you aren't aware of it, is go to the bathroom and wee and stop the wee. That's your pelvic floor muscle.
So both men and women should actually do exercise.
Is the P-test applicable to both?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
but
okay.
Do not do your exercises while you're urinating. You'll give yourself a bladder infection.
Ah.
So find the muscle. If you want to find it, sit down, wee, stop the wee, wee again, stop the wee again. But once you've identified the muscle, don't do it on the loo again.
Okay.
You'll have a bladder infection.
Okay.
Why is that? Because it's very, very bad. You've got the urine coming out. Your body is expelling whatever's been coming out of your body, toxins and things in your body.
Yeah.
You don't want to now be holding it in
and releasing it.
You can do it anytime. I mean, I have clients who've done it in traffic while they're boiling the kettle,
yes.
they're putting on their makeup.
Yes.
And for any woman or man who's ever been lying next to a naked man after sex and see his penis twitching, that's his pelvic floor muscle working.
Oh.
Yeah.
So men should also do these exercises.
Yeah, they can do them. They won't have as much benefit. Have as much benefit as they do for women. But Kegel exercises are really great for intensity of orgasm.
We had this whole long conversation. We're like, guys don't have it, but they do.
They're called pelvic floor muscles, and we call them Kegels because the man who found the benefit of doing them was
Kegel.
His surname was Kegel.
Yeah.
That's why they're called Kegel muscles.
Okay.
Yeah. So we all have pelvic floors, but yeah, there's benefit to doing them.
Okay.
I think for any woman, there's many, many reasons why you'd want to do them. It better orgasms, helps you get better aroused, to feel more sensation-wise, to help you bounce back after having a baby down there. And for older women, unfortunately, we have this horrible thing as ladies that when we sneeze, cough, laugh, jump on a trampoline, whatever it may be, we might leak a little bit of urine.
Yes.
So we need to have strong pelvic floor muscles. But I would say to your listeners that if you have sex and it hurts a lot, so for some time, so you're having sex for a while, you've been having sex with your partner for 6 months, a year, and it's sore every time, don't do your Kegels. Stop doing it and consult a sexologist, because it sounds like there might be something more to
something
it there.
Oh, wow.
And Kegels can actually exacerbate the pain.
Really? Mm. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And then do I do Kegels just by myself, like natural Kegels?
Sure.
Or because you get those like balls or whatever that you insert and you can like walk around and you carry them, essentially.
Yeah.
What do you think is better?
You have a ball that hangs out.
So, yeah, you get ones. They have like a thing that hangs out, or like
does
you insert
the ball
it.
No, no,
you
the
have
ball
to
goes
carry
in.
That. You have to carry
the ball.
That.
You insert the ball into you, and it has a string that hangs out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you do.
Like
if you can go to the loo and wee and stop your wee and hold it for 2 seconds and release, you don't need the balls.
Okay.
Because your Kegel muscles. So it's exactly like going to the gym. If you go to the gym and you pick up a 5 kilo dumbbell,
right.
And it's okay, you can pick it up and do a curl. And then you go and pick up a 15 kilo dumbbell. You can't pick it up. Then you know your muscles aren't strong enough for that weight. So if your muscles are strong enough, fine. But if you find that you can't stop the flow of urine, or your partner's saying, I don't feel anything, it's like really loose, then maybe the balls are a good idea. And they have varying weights. So if you put the lighter ball in and it falls out, you need to use the heavier ball.
Okay.
And they're Kegel balls or Benoit balls. There are a whole bunch of different names for them. But they can be very beneficial depending on if you need them or not. I would not say go and buy them just because I've mentioned them.
Yeah,
I can imagine. You're also trying to do the Kegel exercise while we're sitting here.
I'm in the throes of Kegel. And then I also wanted to find out, in terms of allergies, because you do have somebody maybe who hasn't had sex with this person or haven't had sex ever, whatever the case is. There's so many allergies that could possibly arise in that moment.
Were you saying, are they allergic to their partner?
I've heard that. I don't know if it's a real thing. Can you be allergic,
to,
your partner?
To your partner? Look, there's a very small percentage of women who are allergic to sperm.
Okay.
Very small percentage.
Oh, allergic to sperm.
Okay. Yeah, it's not to their skin or to them, and there's, again, there's a percentage of people who, men and women, who are allergic to latex.
Yes.
So if they are on birth control, they're using condoms and they're using latex condoms, she keeps getting rash or is uncomfortable, itchy, whatever. I have that checked out. But that's really the only allergies STDs you're going to get is either to sperm, very rare, right, or to latex condoms.
Okay. Yeah. Carly, you had a question?
And also, I think something that women have to take into consideration when planning, they actually need to plan when their period is going to come on. The last thing you want is that your period is coming on while you're on honeymoon and it just spoils the whole thing. You get tablets that you can take for that, eh?
Well, you know,
it's the placebo tablets you stop.
Yeah, if you're on the pill, a contraceptive.
Exactly, you've got the pill. I mean, I think if you are a couple who believes in using contraceptive, as you know, there are many sort of backgrounds that don't. If you're a couple that believes in using contraceptive, we assume that you've made provision for but it'd be good to make provision for that before the wedding night.
Yeah. Right.
Don't, and especially if you're a woman who's never been on a contraceptive, don't go and start the pill a week before your wedding.
Your body's going to change
and your hormones are going to change and you're going to yell at your husband to be and he's going to not know what's hit him and you might have breakthrough bleeding and what.
Yeah.
So think about, I think in wedding planning, actually, that should be in your wedding planning guide.
Yeah.
6 months before, have you thought about contraceptive?
Yeah.
So I think it's actually a really, really important thing to think about that. But, you know, lots of brides have their periods on their wedding days and, you know, it's nature, it's life, it happens.
Yeah.
And so you know, we have tampons and pads for this reason. And you know, we just deal with it.
Life goes on.
Yeah.
And then in terms of now I've lost my train of thought.
I want to ask. So like after the wedding, is there any tips you can give for couples to keep their sex life going? It's all great honeymoon. Mm. You know, the night of the wedding is all romantic, or the day after, and then honeymoon's all great. But now it's like, okay, you're back to normal. Mm. Your normal life. There's stress.
No wedding planning anymore.
Just like that honeymoon phase seems to go. And what advice can you give couples to keep that spark going?
Well, I think obviously communication is the number one thing. Just talk, always be open with each other. You're going to have a much better relationship overall, not just sexually, if you're constantly talking, checking in with one another, how you're doing, like, you know, are you happy? Is this good for you? Is that good for you? But do it in a sensitive and not overbearing way.
Yeah.
You know, having your partner constantly ask you, was that good? Did you like that? Is that not?
Oh my God.
It's not sexy. Mm. It's really not sexy. So, you know, have a conversation about it. I wouldn't talk about sex during sex.
Right.
You know,
because you're
so you're in the middle of the throes of passion. Yeah. You say, did you like that thing that I did last week and the thing before that? And should I do that again? Or maybe I'll do that next week. You know, it's a time and a place. It should be sexy. So communication is the number one thing. Then I think the second thing to couples is it doesn't always have to be about, you know, penetrative sex. You can have other forms of intimacy. Mm. So that's the second thing. You know, focus on that. You don't always have to have sex. Third thing, you don't have to feel like sex to have sex.
Yes.
Very often, it's like going to the gym. Mm. Okay, we don't really want to go. Yeah. But once you get there, it's okay and we feel really great afterwards.
Yes.
So sex is very often like that as well. Sometimes you might not feel like it, but just give it a shot. And actually, you might find that you end up enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
And how do you get over that hurdle?
What hurdle?
You know what I say?
Like, just give up and say, okay, right,
can I say,
Mama,
don't kill me.
I know my mother-in-law
when I got married, when I was getting ready to get married, you know, to be someone's wife, and my mom said, you know what? Never hold back on the sex. Like, even when you are your most tired or you're just not in the mood or whatever. Because also it doesn't always have to be this huge performance.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? I think also people think that it always has to be like the most outstanding book writing kind of sex. It doesn't like, just open your legs. And, you know, get to it.
I would go on that line. Yeah. And I think your mama is great. You know, she knows exactly what she's talking about. I think it's fantastic to have that openness with you as well. Fantastic. But, you know, there will be nights that you don't feel like sex, and that is okay. Yeah. You don't have to have sex every night, you know.
And is it predominantly that the men, or that in general men are hornier than women?
Look, but men have more testosterone than women, and testosterone is what is ultimately what fuels our libido. So yes, we could say that men want sex more than women, but that is actually not that true.
Yeah.
Women think about sex. I mean, if you think about your conversations you've had with your girlfriends, we talk about sex and think about sex
all the time.
It is constantly on our brains. As human beings, we are wired. So yes, you could say men want it more. They might have a higher libido. They might be wanting it. 100%. But at the end of the day, it's generally that the couple sometimes is just mismatched in what it is that they do rather than what they want.
Exactly.
They both want to have a healthy sex life. I've never actually met a couple that doesn't want to have a healthy sex life.
Right.
You know, and healthy being communicating thing. And just, sorry, just going back on my last point, I think the fourth and most important thing, and one of the things that a very, very dear friend and mentor of mine has sort of instilled in me in my practice is, as couples, you always got to flirt for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Flirt, flirt, flirt. Write each other notes, buy her flowers, cook him dinner,
hoard
in a naughty
Caught them.
So important. Yes. It keeps the spark going. It keeps the excitement alive.
It's like that whole thing of date nights, and actually you could call it sex
night. I prescribe that for clients. Date night.
100%.
So important.
It's like my mom always says, you know, even it doesn't matter what happens to you in life in terms of your body and kids and whatever the case is, be sexy for your man. Like, he must see you
naked.
But he
must do it for you too.
Exactly. It's the same. It goes both ways. Mm. And you know, you guys have to both make the effort to be appealing for your partner. You can't just say, okay, well, we're married, so you're stuck with
granny panties.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I just after having a baby, I'm like still in granny panties.
It's okay. But this is the thing I said to you, or I said to you off air, that, you know, you've got to be kind to yourself. It's okay. Mm. You might go through periods where one of you is having a hugely stressful time at work.
At work.
Or the other one has a baby, or the other one puts on weight, or the other one has a death in the family.
Life happens when you make plans.
Like, just chill out. Yeah. Stop being so, having such high expectations of yourself, and just go with the flow.
Yeah. Mm.
Just enjoy. Sex. Stop having it. It had to be this big, huge thing.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't always have to be that. Yeah. It can just be this really amazing, sensual kissing session.
Intimacy. You know, intimacy doesn't mean sex. It can be, like you say, there's so many different levels to it.
Absolutely.
I just want to go back to the contraceptives quickly. Side effects sometimes of contraceptives is being dry and stuff. In terms of lubricant, do you find that people avoid it a lot, or like, would you, like, what is your opinion on lubricant and the correlation to dryness from contraceptives?
So,
because sometimes people aren't aware that that's what's causing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So in our field, we have a saying that wetter is better.
Yes,
of course.
So
I believe it.
Lube, and more lube. We believe in that. Obviously, sometimes too much lube is then you can't feel anything, it's frustrating, whatever. But if you are not turned on, it's okay. A woman's body actually takes a bit longer to catch up because her mind is not quite there yet.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately for men, it's such a physical response. It happens very quickly. Women are not designed.
We have to be
that's
all in.
Sometimes people struggle with. You have the woman that's not as quickly aroused and the men is like, right, let's just do this.
And for women, foreplay happens outside the bedroom. It's the compliments, the flowers, the texts, the hugs, the kisses.
Yeah.
That's what actually is going to get her more turned on in bed.
100%.
So the lube, I think it's a very, very important thing.
Well, this is such an very exciting important conversation. I think a lot of people are going to benefit from this.
I think with lube, I would always recommend a silicone lube because it's more natural feeling.
Yeah.
Or it's fine to use a water-based, but please never use any creams or oil-based lubricants because it's going to cause a vaginal infection.
Yeah.
No Vaselines or anything
100%.
Like that.
And just talking about that, what happens if now I'm on honeymoon and too much sex and, you know, I wasn't listening to lube and all of that stuff, or wedding central like you should be. what do I do if I get thrush? What I'm trying to get at is that I always find, you know, people are always trying to do home remedies and stuff, and I'm always just like,
home remedies
go
work
to the to the doctor, maybe for soothing, but does it really clear up the thrush?
No.
Yeah, so it depends. I mean, it depends what strain of thrush you've got and if it's a resistant one and depends where you are.
That sounds true.
It's not pleasant. So you know, if you're in a country where you can pop down to the pharmacy or ask your hotel to translate this, I mean, if you don't mind, you know, just saying you need something for thrush or whatever, or you can explain it to the pharmacist, perfect. I would say if you're experiencing thrush, stop having sex. No penetration.
Number one,
because it's going to aggravate it a lot more. So just give it a rest for a day or two and see how you go. You know, go lie on the beach together, take long walks, cuddle, kiss. You can give them a blowjob if you want, hand job, whatever you like. But just ease up on the penetration for a couple of days and see if it helps. If not, you can always ask your hotel. If there's a doctor, you can see if it's quite
And you got to keep that area quite open. So if you've got a long skirt or whatever, just
you know,
commando.
I would sleep without sleep without pants or underwear on. I would not you shouldn't be using any soap to wash your genitals anyway. So absolutely no soaps in that area. Please, whatever you do not douche. Women who try to wash inside their vaginas, please,
don't
that's so bad. Don't do that. That actually throws off the natural pH of the vagina. The vagina is supposed to have bacteria in it, so very, very bad. So I think if that does happen, you need to take a break. break. If it gets worse, you need to go to a pharmacy, see what you can get, and don't try and home remedy with soaps and stuff like that, because it will make it worse.
Okay. Yo, Katrina, this has been great.
There's so much more to talk about.
I don't even think we've gotten into it. But look, we cannot thank you enough for joining us. It has been so informative. I think people are really going to get a lot from this.
Yeah. I blushed the whole way through.
Yeah, she's bright.
Hey, you probably also blush. You just can't hear.
My tan hides it, boo. My tan hides it. But thanks so much. Keep up with the conversation on our social media platforms. Hashtag Wedding Central. Download the podcast on Cliff Central. CliffCentral.com.